Okay, get this show on the road here. So good afternoon. I call this meeting in the Veterans and Military Affairs, Finance, and Policy meeting to order. We have a quorum present. Lee Bliss, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. I move that they be advanced.
We support
it. Lee Bliss moves approval of the minutes for March 18, 2024. Is there any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we have approved minutes. Pledge of Allegiance. Tradition with this committee.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have one bill on the agenda today, House File 1581. Chair Newton is carrying the bill for the Department of Military Affairs and the Department of Veterans Affairs there, and this modifies their appropriations. Mr. Chair, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chair, and I do have a DE-1 amendment.
Okay, would you like to move and describe that amendment?
Yes, a DE-1 amendment simply eliminates anything that has to do with funding and includes the memorial at the Mendota Bridge and increases the amount that the Department of Military Affairs can ask for bonding.
Okay, great.
It doesn't increase bonding, it just increases the amount they can ask for.
Right. Any discussion to the DE amendment? If not, we can just advance it. So all those in favor of approving the DE amendment?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. The bill is in the position, the condition you would like it to be in, so you can may proceed.
Yes, and Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask if you would like to have the departments come up and make
Mr. Johnson and Mr. Kerr, if you can come on down, we'll grab one more chair. Mr. Curry even has a PowerPoint. Go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I'm Don Curry. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. And I do have a quick presentation to describe the elements in the bill. But we've actually also got a description of an element that's not in the bill now that it's been amended. That's okay. We understand the zero target nature. But it will be in your packet, and we will be in the slides. This is a summary of each of those two items, the last two, increasing the Minnesota State Armory Building Commission's bonding authority, and then the rededication of the Gopher Gunner Bridge. We did have a request in to increase the enlistment incentives, but again, we understand that was amended out based on the lack of availability of funding. So here we are. MSABC, the Minnesota State Armory Building Commission, is a statutory corporation chaired by the Adjutant General, comprised of several officers of field grade, and they have the authority to sell bonds to raise money for federal match to build armories. They were originally awarded bonding authority in 1949, $4.5 million cap, and that was increased in 1988 to $7 million, and most recently increased in 2000 to $15 million. The challenge that we have is the cost of construction has increased exponentially. And for us to be able to come up with a 25% match to construct multiple armories over a 20-year period of bond sales, we really need to have more ability on the table. And so increasing to $45 million is the appropriate level that we think is should be out there. That would give the opportunity then to match federal funding and continue to build new armories in Minnesota as those opportunities come up. The second element of this is rededication of the Gopher Gunner Memorial Bridge. So I'll call your attention to the depiction of the postcard on the slide. That's actually a 1926 postcard that was created in honor of the dedication originally of the Mendota Bridge to the Gopher Gunners. And the Gopher Gunners were originally the 151st Field Artillery Regiment. And they were mobilized for World War I in a thing called the Rainbow Division, the 42nd Division, that was commanded by Major General Douglas MacArthur. He started as a colonel. And Douglas MacArthur commanded that division. He actually had an experience working with reserve components as an active officer and had a high opinion of the capability of reserve components. and volunteered to stand up a division with a battalion from every state. And our contribution to that was the 151 Field Artillery. And the 151 Field Artillery made a huge impact during World War I. They may have fired the first shot in World War I from an American cannon. And anyway, they were honored in 1926 by dedicating the Gopher Gunner Bridge, the Mendota Bridge, to their lineage. And as that bridge is under reconstruction, some members of the regiment went out and said, hey, this is still dedicated. And there's a plaque that's about this big on each end of the bridge that you can only see if you're walking. And we feel it's probably appropriate to replace that with something a little more legible. And so we went to MnDOT and asked, hey, so what do we got to do to do this? And they said, well, the only way we can spend money on that stuff is if you guys go get a bill passed. And we really don't want to spend money on it either, by the way, because we don't want to take it out of our appropriation. And so we agreed that any cost for this, and it will be a nominal cost to create those new signage, that our agency would fund that bill. And so I'm going on the record right now here stating that we are willing to foot that bill out of the Department of Military Affairs general support account. So that really isn't a factor moving forward. But that's the basis of this. We think it's important to rededicate that bridge almost 100 years after it was originally dedicated. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll stand for questions.
Yeah, so I have not walked that bridge, but I have biked it, and I did not notice the plaque. So it needs to be more prominent. Oh, Representative Udella, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as a longtime 151 field artillery soldier, I look forward to amending this into the transportation omnibus. If I can, I'll try and squeeze it out of Chair Hornstein, but appreciate the willingness to cover the costs and look forward to much more prevalent signage, and there's no doubt that the 151 fired the first shot in World War I. So thank you.
And in North Africa, World War II.
Any other further questions or discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So hearing that story, which is incredible, are you guys going to, when the signs are done, are you going to have a dedication and some sort of ceremony to really tell the story? Because I think that's another road trip. I mean, we don't have to take one of them helicopters or not, but, it would be fun to go there. And so,
Mr. Chair, Representative, we rarely miss an opportunity to have a good ceremony. I think you can count on that.
All right.
Any other questions, discussion? If not,
Mr. Chair, if I may, I would like to thank Lead Bliss for not offering an amendment to send this to transportation.
Representative Hutella did say that he was going to do that. So we are going to be dropping it in there. Same verbiage.
I'll help lobby Chair Hornstein on that one.
I do want to have a question, though. Uh-huh. Thank you, Mr. Chair. To Ben, question for you on the veterans' home health care. The amount down here on the bottom, lines 431 to 434, if the amount available in fiscal year 2024 is insufficient, the amount appropriated in 2020, basically we want to reach into next year's budget. What happens if we can't do that? Do you have other funds? The reason I'm asking is, we're going into the structural script. We're going to a deficit. Yeah. The plan is the outlook. We know money's going to be tight next year. Are you going to come back for more money if this happens? I understand we need to do it, but is there anywhere else that we might be able to pull from? You have open FDE requisitions that haven't been filled. There might be a little slush there. Can you just explain what happens if we can't do it next year?
Chair Elkins, Lead Bliss. Yes, and in fact, the healthcare division has been working hard. Once this was identified as a potential challenge for the agency, our CFO and finance team went to work to try and identify ways to cover the difference between now and the end of this fiscal year. We feel that we're in a good place, given that all three new homes are open. We've got at least 20 veterans in each of those homes and are in the process of getting that VA recognition survey done, which would allow us to access the federal per diem. So between some cost savings between now and the end of this fiscal year and our expectation that we'll come online and begin receiving reimbursements from the federal VA, we believe we'll be in a good place, and I don't expect to have to come back and seek additional funding.
Question. Follow up. Mm-hmm. Do you happen to know an idea when that approval or recognition might take place? Is there a timeline that's somewhat solid?
Yeah. Chair, I can just, yeah, yes. Elkins, I apologize. The VA has already surveyed the Montevideo Veterans Home. There are almost no veterans homes in the country that are successful in the first VA survey. They were deficient in three minor areas, but of course that means they got to come back and do a full survey again. We've got Preston and Bemidji online as well. We've got we learned a lot about what the process is going to be. We haven't done a new home recognition survey in 30 years. In fact, since Laverne came online 30 years ago. So we're learning about the process and making sure that we're ready to go. There is no guarantee that we will be successful first try at either Bemidji or Preston, but we're taking the lessons learned in the after action and really applying those too. So we're hopeful within the next 3 months that certification happens. I'll say that there is no, we can't do any clawback and secure any missed opportunities, but going forward, it will put us in a good place. And we have some really good resident mixes out in those new homes. So.
Okay. Representative Fliss.
And one more question. Mm-hmm. I know there's a wait between the first survey and the second survey, right? Is it a definite timeline, like 30 days, 90 days?
Chair Elkins, as soon as we receive the official word, we are back on the list. So typically they will schedule a month. They'll give you a month and then let you know when within that month.
Okay.
They'll be back. But we're hard after it. It's important. We can't expand our resident mix without this recognition. With the funds we've got available from the state of Minnesota, the general fund. So,
all right. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd just like to add, I'd like to give kudos to you all for these new veterans' homes. I have some very good friends in Albert Lee, and the husband is one of the residents in Preston in the home. And I've heard nothing but good things and praise about the staff, about the whole environment, and they just got a new puppy, by the way. So it's just, I've just heard really, really good things and want to thank you and everybody else who's helped to get this going. Because at least the one in Preston is top-notch, so thank you.
Okay. Chair Newman, any closing remarks before we...
I ask the committee to move this bill to
Ways and Means.
Mm-hmm.
Motion.
And, the intent, Mr. Chair, is to move it to Ways and Means, and then it's going to be attached to the state government bill. We'll be working with the Senate to get all these bills put together.
Right. Okay. We've moved to refer the bill to the Ways and Means and Committees as amended, of course, by the DE. No further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it's members approved. So that's the last item we had on the agenda. Or Representative Bliss. Mm-hmm.
Chair Newton, going to the state government, is it the finance or the finance and policy provisions are going to state government?
It would be finance and policy.
All right, thank you.
Okay, with that, I think we are adjourned.